Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, October 15th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
former President Bill Clinton is hospitalized overnight.
President Biden signs off on an increase to the debt ceiling.
Big bank CEOs predict inflation is here to stay.
And Bitcoin rallies on where the SEC will allow ETFs focused on futures.
A federal appeals court is once again allowing Texas to continue banning most abortions. Plus, former Trump advisor Steve Bannon could face contempt of Congress charges. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Dodgers beat the Giants to advance to the NLCS. The Buccaneers beat the Eagles. The Rangers and Islanders both lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And futures are adding to yesterday's gains at 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 14 points, Dow futures up 133, NASDAQ futures up 41 points, the 10-year Treasury down 10/30 seconds, the yield 1.54%. NYMEX crude up 0.9% at 82.01. John.
And Nathan, we're going to get back to the markets in a moment, but first let's start with news on former President Bill Clinton. We learned overnight he's been hospitalized, though doctors say he's on the mend. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
A spokesman says the former president is being treated for a non-COVID-related infection. The 75-year-old former president was admitted to the University of California Irvine Medical Center Tuesday evening and is said to be on the mend. An aide tells the New York Times that Clinton had a urological infection that had developed into sepsis and is responding to IV antibiotics and fluids. A spokesman for the Clinton Foundation says the former president was in the L.A. area for private events related to his charitable organization. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meantime, at the White House, the ink is finally dry on debt ceiling legislation. President Biden signed the bill last night to increase the U.S. debt limit. That averts the threat of a default, but sets the stage for another showdown in December.
And for now, the debt ceiling on the back burner in Wall Street is focused on inflation. Big bank CEOs are weighing in on the debate. We caught up with Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan.
But right now, that inflation is clearly not temporary, and as people worry about, it's more permanent, and a way to conflate that is start to get to work on it.
Brian Moynihan expects the inflation to stick around for now.
And the head of Morgan Stanley's also warning on inflation.
I'm not a buyer of this story that it's all transitory, the inflation story. It's not transitory. I mean, wage inflation is real, and the supply chain interruptions, and you were talking about some of the natural gas and other things, have clearly been real. Some of that is temporary, but not all of it. So I think we're in a period where inflation is going to tick up. I think it's going to force the Fed's hand to move a little more aggressively than they're probably predicting now.
Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman tells us he thinks money is a bit too free and available right now.
And Wells Fargo also in the camp that counts prices as a major concern. We spoke with the chief financial officer, Mike Santomassimo.
Inflation in general, obviously, is running at a much higher pace than I think we thought it would be, you know, just a few months ago, and certainly going to be there for a little bit longer. We are seeing a little bit of pressure in wages, but not across the board, you know, really only in certain pockets of the company.
Outside of the inflation concerns, the CFO says Wells Fargo is making headway on resolving various regulatory concerns, including an asset cap imposed by the Federal Reserve.
And we get financial results from one more big bank today, John. Goldman Sachs reports earnings around 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, and Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
Investment banking has been a bright spot for the industry during the third quarter, and Goldman Sachs should be no different. Bloomberg Intelligence says trading revenue may decline along with the rest of the industry, with fixed income trading revenue seen falling 23% versus a year ago. Analysts are forecasting a third quarter profit of $9.92 a share on revenue of $11.6 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Larry. Bitcoin also on investors' minds this morning. The cryptocurrency is rallying after a Bloomberg News exclusive. Let's get the details live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. Bloomberg News has learned that the SEC will likely allow the first U.S. Bitcoin futures exchange-traded fund to begin trading as early as next week. The Bitcoin ETF proposals by ProShares and Invesco are different than earlier ones rejected by regulators because they're based on futures contracts. They were also filed under mutual fund rules that SEC Chairman Gary Gensler says provide significant investor protections. Unless there's a last-minute reversal, the fund launch will be the culmination of a nearly decade-long campaign by the ETF industry. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. A labor dispute is front and center this morning as well. Deere, the world's biggest farm machinery maker, is waking up to thousands of workers on the picket line. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
They're striking for better pay as the company heads for the most profitable year ever. Representatives from the company and the United Auto Workers Union failed to reach an agreement over a new labor contract. Workers rejected a tentative agreement calling for a 5-6% wage increase for this year. They're also demanding better health benefits. The move comes amid a labor shortage in the U.S. and as pandemic-induced chaos in global supply chains upends business as usual for manufacturers. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Let's turn to the pandemic now, where there's more news on vaccines this morning. The FDA has given the green light for Moderna to start giving booster shots. The story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
It says boosters should be given to people over 65 years of age and for those between 18 and 64 who are at high risk for medical or occupational reasons. This is similar to the one given several weeks ago to Pfizer. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden says the next step is kids.
If authorized, we are ready. We have purchased enough vaccines for all children between the ages of 5 and 11.
And he says there's still work to be done in the area of mandatory workplace vaccinations, although he says major progress has been made. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed Baxter, thank you for that. Futures moving higher this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nate. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. A federal appeals court is allowing a near-total ban on abortions in Texas to continue. The ruling is in response to the Biden administration's latest attempt to put the law on hold as it works its way through the court system, likely all the way to the Supreme Court. The Texas law bans abortions after a so-called fetal heartbeat is detected by ultrasound, generally around 6 weeks. New York real estate heir Robert Durst has been sentenced to life in prison without chance of parole for the murder of his friend Susan Berman more than two decades ago. He was convicted in Los Angeles Superior Court last month of first-degree murder for shooting Susan Berman point-blank in the back of the head at her home in December of 2000. Before sentencing, some of Berman's loved ones addressed the court, including her cousin, Denny Marcus.
I was robbed, and my beautiful son was robbed, of an absolutely extraordinary, unforgettable, brilliant person whose life was savagely taken from her at 55 when she had many years ahead.
Prosecutors said Durst silenced Berman to prevent her from incriminating him in the reopened investigation of his wife's 1982 disappearance in New York. Durst's lawyers said they plan to appeal. The select committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol will make a decision next week to hold one of former President Trump's advisors in contempt of Congress. Steve Bannon could face possible jail time if convicted. The Me Too reckoning hits its four-year mark this week. Charlotte Bennett credits the movement for creating the conditions that emboldened her to come forward with her story of sexual harassment by former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, allegations that Cuomo denies. She says, "I'd like to think that now we are believed."
I would really like to think that we're in a place now where it's not about believability and that we don't have to apologize.
Charlotte Bennett was Cuomo's health policy aide. Former President Donald Trump is scheduled to return to New York City to provide a videotaped deposition in a case about his security team's crackdown on protests during the early days of his presidential campaign in 2015. Trump is expected to record the deposition on Monday in Trump Tower. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Steshauer.
All right, John. Baseball down to its final four. The ALCS starts tonight in Houston. Astros and Red Sox. The Dodgers and Braves, who met in the NLCS last year, will do so again starting tomorrow in Atlanta. Dodgers had to win a winner-take-all versus the Cardinals and then faced elimination twice versus the Giants. Last night's decisive Game 5 in San Francisco was tied in the ninth inning.
Here comes the 1-2 from Duvall. Lines one into right center field for a base hit. Turner will score. Lux is on his way to third. Bellinger with the biggest hit of his career has just given the Dodgers a 2-1 lead.
KLAC, Cody Bellinger, the one-time MVP, had a rough regular season. Before that hit, he was 5-for-62 against the Giants. Max Scherzer pitched the ninth inning, and the Dodgers won 2-1. Changes on the Yankee coaching staff. Third base coach Phil Nevin will not return, nor will hitting coach Marcus Thames. The Yanks only 19th in runs scored this past season. Still not known for certain that Aaron Boone will return. Reportedly, the Padres, who are looking for a manager, are interested in Boone. The Cardinals need a manager. They fired Mike Schilt, even though St. Louis had that 17-game winning streak in September. 77-year-old Hall of Famer Tony La Russa will return next year to again manage the White Sox. The Rangers are 0-2, did pick up a point. The home opener was a 3-2 overtime loss to Dallas. Ranger goals for Adam Fox and Chris Kreider. Islanders with the first of 13 straight road games to start their season, a 6-3 loss at Carolina. The Devils open up tonight. First victory ever for the brand new Seattle Kraken. Tom Brady and Tampa Bay won 28-22 at Philadelphia. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures in the green. Dow futures up 140. S&P futures up 16. The NASDAQ futures are 50 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the sports report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Nathan Hager, futures are pointing to more gains on Wall Street this morning. Stocks helped by a solid roster of corporate results as crude futures spiked to their highest level since October of 2018. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg, and S&P futures right now are up 15 points. Dow futures up 137. NASDAQ futures up 46 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 9/32. The yield 1.54%. NYMEX crude up 0.9% at $82.02 a barrel. 6:18 on Wall Street. Time for your daily Bloomberg crypto update. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. And now with the latest in crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Nathan, right now Bitcoin is trading above 59,000. It's rallying on exclusive news from our team here at Bloomberg that the SEC could allow Bitcoin futures exchange traded fund to begin trading as early as next week. The Bitcoin ETF proposals by ProShares and Invesco are different than earlier ones that were rejected by regulators because they're based on futures contracts. And they were also filed under mutual fund rules that SEC Chairman Gary Gensler says provide significant investor protections. Now, unless there's a last-minute reversal, the fund launch will be the culmination of a nearly decade-long campaign by the ETF industry. Eric Galchunas of Bloomberg Intelligence says there's roughly a 25% chance that the SEC rejects or delays a decision next week. And researcher Morningstar said while issuers are clearly hopeful, there's really no way to know what regulators are thinking. Meanwhile, dozens of cryptocurrency exchange-traded products have already launched in Canada and across Europe. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young. Bloomberg Daybreak, Nathan.
Okay, Renita, thank you. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A spokesman for Bill Clinton says the former president is being treated in a California hospital for a non-COVID-related infection. Clinton's physicians say he is responding to antibiotics well to sepsis. A federal appeals court is once again allowing Texas to continue banning most abortions. In baseball, the Dodgers beat the Giants in the deciding Game 5 of their NLDS series 2-1. L.A. will now face the Braves for the NL title. Thursday night football, the Buccaneers beat the Eagles 28-22. NHL action, the Rangers lost in OT. The Islanders also lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thanks a lot. 6:20 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. A Food and Drug Administration advisory panel now says booster shots of Moderna's vaccine should be given to older people and those at high risk of the disease. It is time for a virus update now. We're joined by Andy Pekos, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor, thanks for being with us this morning. Are booster shots in everybody's future?
I think if you're in one of those high-risk groups, so if you're over the age of 65 or have one of these secondary medical conditions that predisposes you to severe COVID, you will probably be able to get a booster perhaps as early as next week, irrespective of which vaccine you're getting. Moderna was approved yesterday. Today the discussion will be about J&J and perhaps even more interesting, this discussion about what we call the mix-and-match boosters, meaning that maybe you'd be able to get an mRNA vaccine booster irrespective of what you got as your first dose of vaccine. And I think that'll be a really interesting development because that should open up a lot of people for boosters and make life simpler for people who want to get boosters.
Can you remind us about the mRNA vaccines? I mean, we all learned about DNA in schools. My impression is that RNA really is kind of the workhorse.
Yeah, it really is. And these mRNA vaccines have been under development for many years, and they've really been optimized so that you get a vaccine that gets into your cells and immediately starts to make one of the viral proteins, and it makes the one that is the most effective in terms of generating protective antibody responses. And it's been really effective going forward with COVID-19, and certainly it's now being utilized for a number of different infectious diseases. So the vaccine has been shown to be safe. It's shown to be very, very effective in terms of inducing these antibodies, and really was a game changer for COVID-19 and perhaps going forward for other respiratory viruses.
And if you're not in one of those high-risk groups, will a booster eventually be needed, do you think?
Well, this is one of the things that the FDA panel has been debating. Protection against severe disease has held pretty steadily across all age groups. And so that, if that's your bar, protecting people from getting hospitalized, from dying from COVID-19, then there really isn't a need right now for boosters for most parts of the population. And I think as we go forward, it'll really be watching that protection from severe disease. If that starts to drop in all age groups, that's when we really should consider a broadly based boosting strategy for this country.
Yeah, as we head into the weekend, can you remind everybody about where we are, where we've been, and the effectiveness of the vaccine so far?
You know, this entire wave of Delta virus that's been coming through the country has really been driven primarily by infection in unvaccinated people. So the vaccine has really withstood a rather severe test with Delta. And what we really need to think about now is making sure that the people that have gotten infected in this last wave of Delta come back and get a dose of vaccine, because that's been shown to be really effective in terms of making a very high and presumably long-term immune response. I think we're getting close to turning the corner on this pandemic, at least here in the United States, if we can really focus on those people who haven't gotten the vaccines yet, get them to take their first doses of vaccines, and come back and get the people who have been infected to take that one dose of their vaccine so they can really boost their immunity to very high protective levels. So we're getting close, but we still have some work to do before we can feel comfortable that this pandemic is under control here in the U.S.
Professor, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Andy Pankos, Professor of Molecular Microbiology and Immunology from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And as far as the markets, ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, it's risk on. Dow futures up 134, S&P E-mini futures up 14, and the NASDAQ futures are up 37 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Audi. Experience the e-tron family of fully electric vehicles at your tri-state Audi dealer today, delivering the performance you expect from Audi with an eye towards a more sustainable future.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with former President Bill Clinton. Overnight, we learned that the former president has been hospitalized with a non-COVID infection. Clinton was admitted to a California hospital to treat sepsis, though doctors say he is on the mend. Dr. Imran Ali is a physician fellow at Mount Sinai Health.
From what I'm hearing from my sources, that all he needed was some IV fluids to help with his blood pressure, but his blood pressure was not dangerously low to be of any serious concern.
Dr. Imran Ali at Mount Sinai Health says reports from the hospital point to former President Bill Clinton being discharged fairly soon.
And meantime, at the White House, the ink is finally dry on debt ceiling legislation. President Biden signed the bill to increase the U.S. debt limit late last night. It averts the threat of a default, but sets the stage for another showdown in December.
Okay, let's turn to markets now, John, where we see stock futures on the rise this Friday morning, and oil is on track for an eighth weekly gain. That would be the longest winning streak for crude since 2015. Earlier, Brent topped $85 a barrel for the first time in 3 years. Checking oil prices right now, Brent's at $84.77 a barrel, while NYMEX crude is at $82.03.
And Bitcoin also higher this morning following Bloomberg News exclusive. Let's get the very latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. Bloomberg News has learned that the SEC will likely allow the first U.S. Bitcoin futures exchange-traded fund to begin trading as early as next week. The Bitcoin ETF proposals by ProShares and Invesco are different than earlier ones rejected by regulators because they're based on futures contracts. They were also filed under mutual fund rules that SEC Chairman Gary Gensler says provide significant investor protections. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. Earnings are in focus again this morning as well, with Wall Street wrapping up a busy week of bank results. Goldman Sachs reports around 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. The options market's pricing in unusual volatility for Goldman shares today. Bets imply a move of around 3%.
And now let's turn to the latest on the pandemic. An FDA panel backing plans for COVID booster shots from Moderna. Advisors say boosters should be given to older people and those at high risk of the disease. At the same time, President Biden says the government is preparing for approval of vaccines for kids.
We have purchased enough vaccines for all children between the ages of 5 and 11.
The FDA holds another panel hearing October 26 to decide on vaccines for kids ages 5 to 11.
All right, John, thanks. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr now to tell us what's going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. A congressional committee investigating the January 6th insurrection has set a vote to recommend criminal contempt charges against former White House aide Steve Bannon after he defied the panel subpoena. The panel is set to vote Tuesday to recommend the charges. That would send the recommendation to the full House for a vote. If the House votes to recommend the contempt charges against Bannon, the Justice Department will ultimately decide whether to prosecute.
New York real estate heir Robert Durst was sentenced to life in prison without chance of parole for the murder of his friend more than two decades ago. The 78-year-old was convicted in Los Angeles Superior Court last month of first-degree murder for gunning down Susan Berman at her home in December of 2000. During the sentencing hearing, some of Berman's loved ones addressed the court, including her niece.
I would like Bobby to live many, many years, to be on record for the longest living predator ever.
Durst's lawyer says they will appeal. A federal appeals court is once again allowing Texas to continue banning most abortions. The decision last night keeps the law known as Senate Bill 8 in place as the Justice Department tries to halt the law. The Biden administration is suing Texas over the restrictions that ban abortions once cardiac activity is detected, usually around 6 weeks. The Texas law allows private citizens to collect at least $10,000 in damages if they bring a successful lawsuit against an abortion provider who violates the restrictions. The Me Too movement has reached its four-year mark. Charlotte Bennett's story of alleged misconduct by New York's then-Governor Andrew Cuomo helped lead to his resignation earlier this year. An investigation also accused Cuomo of harassing at least 11 women in a shocking report by the state's attorney general. Bennett, Cuomo's former health policy aide, says she hopes the movement will fix the systemic behaviors that allow for this type of abuse to occur.
We know the underbelly of these institutions better than anyone. And I think we have a lot of solutions to fix it. And we should be at the table. It should be our table.
Bennett also says she hopes the movement will not only provide a community for those who have suffered similar experiences, but inspires leaders to do better. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:36 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
All right, John, Dodgers and Giants, decisive Game 5 in San Francisco, and yes, kind of unfair that baseball's two best teams met in the NLDS round. Someone was going to win for the 110th time this season, and it was L.A. with a run in the ninth inning to win 2-1 in advance to the NLCS against Atlanta. Mookie Betts had four of the Dodgers' eight hits. Cody Bellinger had the run-scoring hit in the ninth. Max Scherzer got the save, ending with a strikeout of Wilmer Flores with a tying run on. The first base umpire called it a swing when it appeared that Flores held up. The Dodger manager, Dave Roberts.
We expected, you know, to come down. Every game could have went either way for the most part, and come down to a game five and the ninth inning. Just a great series, and the energy here was a lot of fun. And just to see our guys step up and win a ball game obviously was huge.
How close were these teams? They played 24 times, each won 12. ALCS, Red Sox and Astros starting tonight in Houston. The Yankees fired hitting coach Marcus Thames and third base coach Phil Nevin. The Cardinals fired manager Mike Schilt. The Rangers home opener, a nice tribute to the late Rod Gilbert, including a seven-second moment of silence for number seven, Mr. Ranger, who passed away last summer. Dallas scored minute 38 into overtime. The Stars won 3-2. The Islanders lost 6-3 at Carolina in their opener. The Devils open up tonight in Newark. The Nets won their preseason finale in Brooklyn, and then Kevin Durant said he is positive that the Kyrie Irving situation will work itself out. For now, Irving not part of the team because he hasn't gotten the vaccine. NFL Week 6 underway in Philadelphia. Tampa Bay up three touchdowns, held on, beat the Eagles 28-22. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
John, thanks a lot. Coming up on 6:38 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. We were just talking to Professor Andy Pekos about the booster shots, Dave.
We were, and indeed, Moderna shares higher by 3% in early trading after that U.S. advisory panel endorsement for a Moderna booster. Now, this stock was up 3.2% yesterday when the recommendation was released, and it's been up every day this week. So you're looking at a five-day win streak if it's higher again today. Goldman Sachs up 0.75%. The member of the Dow Jones Industrial Average will wrap up third-quarter results for what you might call the big six of U.S. banks. Analysts expect earnings per share to rise 2% after more than doubling for four straight quarters based on the Bloomberg survey.
And what else is happening on the earnings front?
Well, we've gotten results already from a regional bank, Truist Financial. It's up 0.5%. Third quarter earnings beat estimates largely because of a much bigger recovery of funds set aside for loan losses than analysts expected. Results are due before the open from another regional lender, PNC Financial, along with discount broker Charles Schwab, warehouse owner Prologis, and trucking company J.B. Hunt. You've got cryptocurrency-related stocks higher on the prospect that U.S. regulators will clear an exchange-traded fund for Bitcoin futures. The exchange owner Coinbase Global up 2%. The Bitcoin investor MicroStrategy up 2.5%. Riot Blockchain up 4.5%. A couple of companies with results out late yesterday are moving. Alcoa's up 6%. The aluminum maker declared its first dividend since separating from auto and aircraft parts supplier Arconic in 2016. And third quarter earnings and sales at Alcoa top projections. Duck Creek Technologies, though, down 15.5%. The insurance software maker had an unexpected loss last quarter and gave a fiscal year revenue forecast that trailed estimates. A couple of analyst calls of note. Western Digital down 2.5%. The maker of data storage devices was cut to neutral from buy at Goldman Sachs. Teradyne, though, up 1.5%. The maker of chip testing equipment received the equivalent of a buy rating in new coverage at Piper Sandler. Beyond Meat's up 1%. McDonald's is going to start testing a burger made with the company's plant-based patty next month. We're talking about the McPlant Burger. Virgin Galactic, if only they were so lucky. That stock's down 20.5%. The space tourism company delayed its first commercial flight because a plane upgrade is happening a month later than expected. It's now going to happen in next year's fourth quarter. That's when they'll start carrying paying customers.
McPlant, that's the best name they could come up with. All right. Bloomberg Stock Center, Dave Wilson, thanks for joining us. And ahead of the market open, S&P futures up 15, Dow futures up 147, NASDAQ futures up 38 points. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden, accountants and advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are pointing to Friday gains. Let's head right to the First Road Breaking News Desk for today's morning call with Felice Marantz. Good morning, Felice.
Good morning, Nathan. Futures are indeed climbing today, with the Dow up about 155 points, S&P up 15, and NASDAQ gaining 46. The U.S. 10-year yield is around 1.54%, while Asian markets rose overnight, and European markets are gaining this morning, too. Back in the U.S., on the economic front, at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing, September retail sales, and the Import Price Index. At 10 a.m., August business inventories and University of Michigan confidence. In earnings last night, Alcoa had beat and had even better guidance. Shares are rallying ahead of the bell this morning. Companies reporting later include Goldman Sachs and Charles Schwab. In other news, China eases mortgages for the rest of the year. The SEC is said to be set to allow Bitcoin future ETFs. And Howard Lutnick says there's no way he acted improperly in an $875 million deal. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Felice Marantz. Nathan?
Okay, Felice, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on the terminal, S-Q-U-A, go. That's Bloomberg Business Flash. And now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. UC Irvine Medical Center in California says former President Clinton is recovering in the ICU from a blood infection known as sepsis. A spokesperson says Clinton is doing well and is expected to be released from the hospital soon. Queen Elizabeth is said to be irritated with world leaders for a lack of action on climate change. It's ahead of the climate summit next month in Glasgow. In baseball, the Dodgers beat the Giants in the deciding Game 5 of their NLDS series, 2-1. L.A. will now face the Braves for the NL title. Thursday night football, the Buccaneers beat the Eagles 28-22. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in OT. The Islanders also lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Is setting up a trust in South Dakota worth it? I'm Alexis Leondis, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The most recent release of confidential documents from the super wealthy highlights how South Dakota has become one of the most popular tax havens in the world. Naturally, those looking to minimize taxes, especially in high-tax states, want in on the game, too. South Dakota offers everything a wealthy person setting up a trust could want. No state income tax, robust asset protection, and perpetuity, so trust can potentially avoid the federal estate tax forever. But there are reasons why using a trust in South Dakota or any other state with equally favorable trust laws, such as Nevada or Delaware, could backfire. Right now, lawmakers at the state and federal level may move forward with policies that could make some of these trusts a lot less attractive. And as a practical matter, a popular version of these trusts has never actually been tested in a court of law. I'm Alexis Leondis. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. 6:50 on Wall Street, time to turn to news in science and technology. The Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes infrastructure-ready graduates, from civil engineers to transportation specialists. If it's infrastructure, NJIT grads are building it. More at NJIT.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. U.S. health advisors say that some Americans who received Moderna's COVID vaccine at least 6 months ago should get a half-dose booster to rev up protection against the virus. The panel of outside advisors to the FDA voted unanimously to recommend a booster shot for seniors as well as younger adults with other health problems that put them at increased risk from COVID-19. The number of people killed by tuberculosis has risen for the first time in more than a decade. The World Health Organization says that's largely because fewer people got tested and treated as resources were diverted to fight the coronavirus pandemic. TB routinely kills more people every year than AIDS and malaria. And wages are going up. According to a survey of U.S. chief financial officers, about 6 in 10 companies are increasing starting wages by an average of almost 10%. Almost three-quarters of the respondents said their companies are having difficulties hiring. Among them, a third are implementing or exploring automation to replace workers. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
All right, thanks, Nathan. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:52 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden signing the bill that provides short-term increase in the U.S. debt limit. The Texas abortion ban will last at least until a December hearing. And the Republican candidate for Virginia governor seeking to distance himself from a rally where the former president, Donald Trump, endorsed him. Let's take a deeper dive this morning with Wendy Schiller, the chair of political science at Brown University. Professor, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. Let's start off with the Republican candidate for Virginia governor. There are two governor's races coming up in this election cycle, if I'm not mistaken. We're talking about Glenn Youngkin here in Virginia. He wasn't even at this rally Wednesday. What does this tell you?
Well, I mean, I think this is a big divide in the Republican Party right now that we're looking at. You know, Trump is generating a lot of energy. He still does generate a lot of energy at these rallies. But suburban voters in particular, and women in particular in the suburbs, didn't vote for Trump in 2018, or the Republicans, and they didn't vote for Trump in 2020. And they're not going to vote for a Trump-like candidate in 2022, even though it looks like a good year for the Republicans. So they're walking a really fine line. It's a sort of a high wire act, because you don't want to alienate people who are typically likely to vote in midterm elections, but you want to generate a lot of enthusiasm among the Republican base. So that's why you'll have, candidates saying, well, yeah, I welcome your support vaguely, but I don't endorse everything particular about that was said by Donald Trump at a rally.
Yeah, and I think it's the same case in New Jersey with the Democratic challenger to the incumbent, Phil Murphy, also has distanced himself, I think it's safe to say, from Donald Trump, right?
Yeah, and these are obviously states that at the moment lean blue and have leaned blue in presidential elections. In other areas, obviously, that are more conservative, it's, you know, still considered an asset to be more closely aligned with Trump. But we'll, you know, we'll have to see how this plays out. You know, we've got an interesting race in 2022 in the governor's race in Florida, for example, DeSantis, where Trump is in Florida a lot of the time, very vocal in Florida. And we'll have to wait and see, because if there's any negative to Trump in a tightly, you know, a tight election, then you don't, you know, you don't want to bring that negative into the game if you're the Republicans looking at a pretty good landscape. On the other hand, you need your base to get out. And right now, he seems to be the Republican who can generate, theoretically, generate turnout. So this is a big problem for the Republicans. And the Democrats are giving them a leg of ammunition now, because there's a fair amount of chaos in the National Democratic Party. But, you know, a year is a long time. And so if things settle down, then voters can reevaluate, are we bringing back Trump administration, are we bringing back Trump? And that, you know, I don't think will play as well in suburbs around the whole country as Republicans are going to hope.
The swing voters in all these states, what are they looking for?
You know, I think Americans are looking for a little more calm, right? They want a more stable economy. Obviously, they want COVID to be dealt with. We're getting there on vaccinations, you know, across the country. It's taking longer than people would hope, but things seem to be settling down there. But gas prices are going up. Inflation is a big headline right now. Energy costs. You can't buy a house in a lot of places. You know, minimum wage hasn't really gone as high as people would like in some parts of the country. So suburban voters just want a little more predictability, a little more stability, and a little more calm. And I think that's where the Trump energy can be a liability for the Republicans. But the Democratic, you know, especially spending lots of money on programs that right now suburban voters do not see that they need. And so there's a disconnect between what most people are worrying about on a daily basis and what the Democratic Party is emphasizing in their national messaging. And that's the big Achilles heel, I think, right now for the Democrats.
And I just want to wrap up with the president signing the bill with the short-term increase in the debt limit. The crisis averted for now, but it's certainly not going away. Who is this going to benefit? Is it going to benefit one party or another?
Well, I mean, I think, again, you know, business community, they want stability. Investors, they want stability to a certain extent, at least from the government. And, you know, even though the majority of people are not directly invested in the stock market in a significant way, this affects, you know, the very people that the Republicans need to win the 22 midterms. So if the Republicans block or delay or don't let the debt ceiling go through, the Democrats are going to blame them for that instability and any losses that happen in people's portfolios. And even though, again, it's not the majority of Americans, it is a lot of people who vote in midterm elections. So that's the problem with the Republicans in blocking it. They're going to have to try to extract. But in the end, just like they cave now, they're going to have to cave then too.
Wendy, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Wendy Schiller, the chair of the Political Science Department at Brown University, with us this morning. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street as we wind up the trading week, Dow futures right now, they are up 149 points, a rise of 0.4%. S&P E-mini futures, they're up 14. That's up 0.3% right now. And the NASDAQ futures up 42 points. That is a rise of 0.3%. Dollar DXY pretty much flat at this point. And as we look at yields, the 10-year yield is at 1.54%. That's a rise of about 2 basis points for the benchmark. The 2-year yield at 0.35%. For Nathan Hager, I'm John Tucker. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.